2006. I had moved to Phoenix without any friends or family or anything that I'd known, and I had a lot of free time on my hands. I filled it by sitting in front of the computer playing video games again. It was 6 months after the release of my first album, The Call. The buzz that had started so strong for it was beginning to fade. I was out of town, being so far from Philly, I couldn't hit the open mics that I used to. Music videos in 2006 were too expensive to shoot, and I didn't have enough contacts to go on tour or do one of those fancy press runs on the West Coast. Soon, the album would stop dead in its tracks. Being 3,000 miles away from anyone or anything that was familiar probably isn't a smart move when you have an album to promote. Nobody in Arizona cared that I'd ripped up stages for months, killed open mics, or that I'd shared shows and gotten props from established East Coast MCs. It was a very niche market. As impressive as those accolades might have been, everything was regional. If I were to make a footing out west, I had to restart from zero. But musically, I'd said everything on The Call that I'd ever wanted to say as a rapper. I had effectively translated everything from my demo project into a full-length album, and I was very proud of what we had created. I just didn't know how to make it last. Sustainability is probably the hardest part of the process as a musician. As tough as it may be to create a great album, it's probably 100 times harder to get people to care about it and keep the momentum going. Once they do care, keep them in their interests, pretty much impossible. To make some friends, I joined a church, signed up for several meetup groups, and hung out with coworkers on the weekend. Overall, I had a tough time making lasting friendships in Phoenix. They say the older you are, the tougher it is to meet people when you move to a new city, because most folks have their established groups of friends, and they don't want to open the circle to newcomers. On that Drake song, No New Friends, I'd agree with that. So when I got bored, I went back to my best friend since 1995, the internet. And one day while surfing, I discovered emulators. Video game console emulator is a type of emulator that allows a computing device to act as if it is a video game console's hardware and play its games on the emulating platform. So with this, I can play PlayStation, Super Nintendo, classic NES games on my PC without needing a new console. Now, this wasn't totally legal. The law says you must own any game that you emulate. But I told myself that it was legit because at one time or another, I definitely owned these games. I fired up Mega Man 2 and I discovered that I remembered all the tricks and traps from 1990. 16 years later, it was as if I left my NES with the power light still on from all those years ago. The music was still phenomenal. I hummed it while battling boss robots. Who needs friends when you got retro game classics? Playing through this game gave me the idea of all ideas. As I hummed along with the music, I started muttering words, then phrases, and then chorus notes. I began crafting songs in my head to these high-speed 8-bit chip tunes while I struggled through the game's levels. One in particular was the theme for Woodman Stage, which turned into a chorus about not wanting to grow up. And with that, the Mega Ran idea was officially born. I planned to be the first person to rap on video game, specifically Mega Man themes, making full-on hip-hop bangers from these tunes. I searched Google just to see if I'd seen anything like this before or if it would pop up. Surely it had to be done, right? Nope, it wasn't. Closest I found was a band called The Megas, who replayed Mega Man music and added rock lyrics about the boss characters, and The Proto Men, who created driving rock ballads based in the universe of Mega Man without utilizing any of the existing themes. Was I the first guy to write nerdy raps? Not hardly. As far as rap went, Del the Funky Homo Sapien made a song called Protoculture in 2000, which was about how much he enjoyed the Sega Dreamcast. Track sampled from a game called Darkstalkers, which was also a Capcom title. In 2005, a website called Urban Reviews posted a review on my first album called Fundamentals. And on the same night, right underneath it, they reviewed an album by an artist called YT Cracker called NES, Nerd Rap Entertainment System, in which he rapped nerdy bars over samples from Dig Dug to Lode Runner. The track Mega Nerd definitely touched me the hardest. Over the signature intro theme from Mega Man 3, YTC dropped the rhymes that would help to influence my next direction in the same way that Chuck D's words did, like 15 years earlier. This is the life of a mega nerd, baby. We doing things and we making it happen right. From the trash 80 to a black Mercedes, no one can stop us now because we keeping it nerdy nice. As a nerd in denial, this was the mantra that I didn't know I needed to hear. This also was the first time I had heard the term nerd rap, and I explored to find out more about it. So as I finished more and more of the Mega Rant tracks, I wanted to put them online to get feedback, but I was also deathly afraid of people who were used to hearing Random, the conscious MC who was not so nerdy, doing this album. How could I show people my new music and new direction without putting off folks who had already rocked with me? Well, a new name was a start. I watched the career of two golden era MCs turn new artists to get inspiration for this change. One was named NY Oil, and the other was named MF Doom. NY Oil began his career as Cool Kim of the UMCs, one of the first rap acts signed to indie rap label Wild Pitch Records in the early 90s. After moderate success with their singles Blue Cheese and One to Grow On, the UMCs disappeared. And then a mysterious single popped up on the internet with an animated video called Y'all Should All Get Lynched. It was a controversial and fiery attack on hip-hop's directional and subject matter change. Cool Kim hit the gym, donned some dark shades, and changed his name to NY Oil. And it was on. Doom began as Zev Love X, a founding member of hip-hop group KMD, who appeared on the 1989 third bass hit, The Gas Face. From there, KMD's records were highly bootlegged and never released due to label politics. Doom then decided a name change would be the best way to release music, and he added a Dr. Doom mask for effect and became the mysterious man that we all know as MF Doom, then later just Doom, releasing a ton of solo and collaboration projects that people consider rap classics, like Operation Doomsday and Mad Villainy. I thought if Random would be known for straight up rap, then an alter ego could be created for nerdcore raps. Mega Man would be born. Mega Man plus Random equals Mega Ran. Easy math. I created a new MySpace page as Mega Ran and posted my music there. First thing I posted was the Woodman track, Grow Up. People who heard it enjoyed it. Started moving fast. It reached 10,000 hits in a month, quicker than anything that I'd ever previously placed online. While looking for places on the web to promote it, I found a nerdcore hip-hop forum called Rhyme Torrents. And there, I met many of the folks who would eventually put together the first nerd music festival called Nerdapalooza in Florida later that year. Hip-hop is some of the most ingenious, resourceful minds known for making something out of nothing, or something cool from something that was previously uncool. I think I had found my lane, and it was time for takeoff. Really hadn't planned my career past the call. I just wanted to get out what was on my mind at the time. The world was crazy in 2004, 2005 when I started writing it, and it had just gotten crazier. George W. Bush had won a second term after a wild election. Hundreds of troops were getting killed in the Middle East. Global terrorist attacks reached a critical mass. At home, Hurricane Katrina capped off the deadliest hurricane season ever. Education reform was being forgotten. And personally, I had just broken up with a girl who at one time I thought I would marry. Once the record was done out of my system, I wanted to move on. I stopped writing new songs and went into a silent semi-retirement mode. Teaching and adjusting to a new environment were the only things on my mind. I was ready to change the game, like Wu-Tang did. Instead of using Kung Fu flicks, my avenue would be through video games. So the Mega Man rapper was born officially on a fall evening in 2006. I'm at the computer searching the internet for Mega Man music MP3s. Came across a website called Atomic Fire, a comprehensive Mega Man fan site full of information, tips, and even a section for soundtracks. The owner, simply known as Da Heat Man, had compiled every piece of info and media on Mega Man games, much like I had in my brain, but he put it all in one place on the internet. I was in heaven. I downloaded one track, then another. Before I knew it, I spent 3 hours on this page playing and downloading every song from every classic Mega Man series. And when the smoke cleared, I had neatly organized folders over 200 tracks. I spent more time listening to Mega Man 2, though, more than other. It took me back to those challenging levels and being a young kid on those cold mornings on the bus with my Sony Walkman, where I used to record Mega Man tracks when I was a kid. Like a lightning bolt, the idea hit my head. I quickly booted up my production program, which was Reason 3.0, and I loaded up a song for Mega Man 2, which was Woodman Stage. I stretched it, added some drums, added some strings, added some synths, and began humming a tune that would eventually be called Grow Up. I felt like a California miner in 1849. I was onto something so different that would eventually change my life, though I didn't know it at the time. I just wrote lyrics about remaining childlike and immature, and I recorded the song at my engineer's home. No one could have predicted the response. Put a song on MySpace, put another one, and these songs started doing even better than the last. They racked up thousands of plays and encouraged me to continue with this project that, of course, will be called Mega Ran. Sampling tunes from the vast library of games, I created a world in which I had a dream that I woke up inside of this game and I had to pick up where this blue bot left off, blasting enemies through dope rap tracks instead of shooting plasma arm cannons. The Mega Ran album was completed and released in June of 2007 in time to commemorate Mega Man's 20th anniversary. I released a free version of the album that contained 10 songs. I was hoping that if people liked it, they'd be inclined to purchase the full album, which had 16 songs. It worked. The free version racked up 5,400 downloads in a week. The day that I released the full version, I don't remember the numbers, but a review of the album popped up on IGN's website, which is currently the fifth most popular video game website in the world, Craig. The world. The review led to more hits and more purchases of this album, and I suspect that this IGN review and exposure led to the message that I received in my MySpace inbox that day. The subject line read, RE, this Mega Man album, and it was from Capcom. My heart dropped. Here we go, I thought. They're about to sue me. Grand opening, grand closing. I'd hoped they'd enjoy the fun lyrics and catchy choruses, but also feared that they would be offended by my sampling of their tracks on each song. The message wasn't as malicious as I feared, thankfully. It's full of just brightness and optimism. Hey man, I'm Chris at Capcom Unity. We heard your Mega Man album. Then he skipped a bunch of spaces just to kind of get me worried, and then he gave it to me. Don't worry, this isn't a cease and desist. We just like to highlight cool fan art that we found on the internet, and your album is super cool. We'd like to know if you'd be interested in doing an interview on our website. Of course I want to. So after a cool feature on the site, Chris emailed me with an awesome idea. Hey man, I don't know if you're familiar, but San Diego Comic-Con is coming up. We got a booth there, and since this album is so popular online, how would you like to come out to our booth and sign autographs? It'll be fun. I was very familiar with Comic-Con, but of course I'd never been. Since a preteen, I was reading about these giant conventions in San Diego where Stan Lee and all the writers and all the artists would meet fans and sign stuff and do all kinds of commissions. I dreamed my whole life of attending one, but San Diego was so far from where I used to live. But from Phoenix, however, I could get to San Diego in 5.5 hours. So I told Capcom absolutely I wanted to be there with bells on. So I went from never having attended a Comic-Con to being a welcomed, invited guest of Capcom at my very first one. It was in the process that I discovered Nerdcore. Moving out west had already paid dividends. Random was making way for Mega Ran.